Yeah, talking about liquidiv.com, promo code Nooners at checkout. You see us drinking it on the show every single day. Where would we be, Japes, without Liquid IV in our lives?
Dehydrated, we'd have headaches, we'd be tired, yeah. Exhausted.
Yep.
Not be able to get through the day, get through work, we'd be sick all the time.
I'd be hungover. Every single day. Love the Liquid IV. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks out there, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. It's just a little tiny stick full of powder. Pop it in 16 ounces of water. You're good to go. What you reckon, Jabes? Double or triple hydrated?
I would say double.
Oh, I'd say triple.
What?
Nay, I'll say triple today. Huge fan of Liquid IV. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. With Liquid IV, get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code Nooners at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Nooners at liquidiv.com.
Tier 3 North, man missing on Tier 2, cell 245. Dufresne, get your ass out here, boy. You're holding up the show. Damn it, Dufresne, you're putting me behind. I got a schedule to keep. You better be sick or dead in there, I shit you not. You hear me?
Oh, my holy God.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ross Patterson Revolution.
Oh, Jabes. Tonight's your night.
Tonight's my night.
Tonight's your night. We did a show a few episodes ago about my fear of prison. Not a fear, but more of a fear of losing your mental state.
And not
so
being
to
able to handle it,
yeah,
is basically it.
Not the physical aspect, but the mental aspect. I think I would lose my mind. I've often stated 7 years was my max, or I would just off myself before I went.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, the pharma bro, Martin Shkreli, who is hated universally by pretty much everyone. I would say he is arguably one of the most hated men in the United States currently.
Oh, the guy that bought that Wu-Tang thing and made the AIDS?
Yes, he ran the pharma company that and he jacked up all the AIDS drugs.
Okay, yeah.
5,000%.
Mm-hmm.
Because he could.
Sure.
Simply stating for the fact of, hey, there is no set market price, therefore we create it, and our business can make more money, so let's just jack it up as high as we can. He also had an investment banking firm on the side that he was working with, along with his pharmaceutical company.
Mm-hmm.
What he was doing was using the money he made from pharmaceuticals and paying off people through this investment firm. And they long story short, they popped him for fraud, for money laundering.
Yep.
And fraud. Because he was using some of this to pay back some investors, as well as bilking some people. Whatever. He got charged, you know, 90 times, some counts stuck. He got convicted of 3 of them. He's facing about 20 years in prison. Everybody's celebrating this. You also know him as the Wu-Tang guy.
Right.
Wu-Tang Clan made an album, first album they'd made in years. They put it up for a private auction. Whoever bought it had the option to do whatever they wanted to with it. They could release it to the public. They could only keep it to themselves. The choice was theirs.
Mm-hmm.
This motherfucker bought it. He bought the album and kept it to himself.
He trolled Wu-Tang fans, basically.
For the last 2 years.
Yep.
He would play maybe 10 seconds of it. He had people over to his house to listen to it.
He looks like such a dude.
Not only that, but the people he played for didn't like rap music.
Mm-hmm.
So he would do shit like that.
Right.
Of like, hey, man, I really don't give a fuck what this album is. So he's deprived hip-hop fans
sure.
of this unknown epic album of Wu-Tang Clan.
Which crime is worse? You know, I really don't know. I can't say.
Lastly, Lastly, he is alleged to have the Carter Five, the elusive Lil Wayne album that has been put on hold because of a lawsuit for the past 3 years.
Sure.
Lil Wayne is suing Birdman, the owner of Young Money, Cash Money. So this album has not been able to be released until this lawsuit is settled. He claims he has it and played two of the tracks one night on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Lil Wayne threatened a lawsuit, confirming that indeed this fucking guy had the Carter Five as well somehow.
Why is he the worst?
Why is he the worst human being on the planet? It's not going to matter shortly because he's going to jail for a while. And a guy like that in jail is not going to do.
Oh, no.
Not going to do so
little,
well.
Yeah, fuck boy.
Not going to do so well.
Little fuck boy.
So tonight, one of our listeners called in and said, hey, I used to work at a prison. At a max prison. If you want to know what it's like and what goes on there, I'd be happy to tell you. So James and I were like, fucking
yes, A. Yes, that's like
we'll give
my
you a,
Super
we'll
Bowl.
Give, we'll give
yeah.
you a ring.
That's
Let's
my
do it.
Tom Brady. Yeah.
Really? Like after,
I'm just saying,
after
like,
all I've been
in
through,
general,
Tom Brady's who you want to bring up today?
Who would it be?
Jesus Christ. Anybody besides Tom Brady. Say Michael Jordan. Say
That's
somebody else.
That's my Michael Jordan.
God damn it. Tom Brady. Come on.
He was just on. I'm sorry because it was his birthday. Sorry.
Fuck Tom Brady.
And his wife is spouting off about him having a concussion. And
yeah.
He's like, shh, shh, shh.
That was last year, actually. And they're still talking about that.
Yeah, I know. But it was like on his birthday or whatever. So.
Yeah, she.
She's no Patty Buchan. That's for sure.
No. But she's also a super fan, like, which is surprising. I would have thought she would have married like a Ronaldo or something, like a, you know, a soccer star.
Yeah.
For her to be this into American football is crazy to me because she was at the game.
Oh, yeah. When something like brings you that much money, you get real excited about it.
I guess. But look, to be honest, if you look at the numbers,
into it, yeah.
If you open up the numbers, she's made more than him. She has made more money than he has.
Right.
So it's like, what are you this fucking excited for?
Yeah.
And if you're truly worried about him getting concussions, fuck, call it a day. You guys are worth a half a billion. Like, you're good.
Yeah, I don't think she's truly worried.
I don't think so either, but I saw her. What was it? The Today Show she was on the other day or whatever the fuck it was. Like, you know, running her mouth about it. And it was just like,
running her mouth. What is that about?
Are you really this fucking, you know. I think there's women who really want to be a part of it, you know, who are just like they're playing too, where you're just like, you're not playing.
Right.
You're not fucking doing anything.
My thing is like, why isn't Brady like, shh, 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 shh.
One would think,
you know what
Brady
I mean?
Behind closed doors would be like, hey,
girl,
just shut the fuck up.
It is Boonchin though.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like an alien.
It's tough to tell.
Like, we don't know if she beats him, but she might.
Yeah. It's tough to tell whether who's wearing the pants in that relationship.
Right. Because she definitely could be like, peace out and be fine. So
these
are two people that, like, I don't know how fucking codependent and weird they are. Or if they're just perfect relationship goals.
I don't know. But I knew his last fiance pretty well.
The one that he left while she was pregnant for Boonchin?
Yes.
Mm.
I know her pretty well. And totally fucking nice, normal, like, polite. Couldn't have been a sweeter person, so I don't know what happened with that.
Sure.
Like, there was never a real answer. I mean, look, Giselle,
it's pretty self-explanatory.
Giselle walks in.
And she points at you and she wants you. And you get up from the table, whoever's table you're at.
Yeah.
And you go with Boonchin.
And you leave. Yeah.
And I'm sorry, girl, and you'll get over it, you know, and I'll pay you or whatever.
Sure.
But yeah, he had to do it.
Yeah.
It was like this it's a law, I think.
It's one of those.
If Boonchin points to you.
It's one of those things, too, with Tom Brady where no one has ever brought that up again.
I know. And he's one of those people that somehow.
Because it's Boonchin.
I think so. And like I said, it is a law. If Boonchin comes
for
you.
If Giselle,
If Boonchin sends for you.
Yeah.
You come.
You go.
But yeah. I always think I saw Boonchin post something for Brady's birthday, and I still thought about the ex-wife, or was it girlfriend or wife? It was wife.
I believe they were engaged at the time.
They were engaged and she was pregnant.
Yeah.
So I think when I saw that post, I still thought, like, I wonder if she sees this and still cringes.
I would think so.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it's still Boonchin. It's not like Boonchin is not Boonchin anymore. She has a baby and she's still like an alien.
Yep.
So there's no like, you know, well, at least she's fat.
It's like when your girlfriend leaves you for George Clooney. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And that hey, that happened to my buddy. Dated Keebler for 10 years. Wouldn't put a ring on it for whatever the fuck reason. And she was like, cool. They break up. And the next thing you know, she's dating George Clooney. And you're just like, oh, no.
But now she's not dating him.
No, she's married now, too.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she's married to somebody else.
Good for her.
I believe she's a child.
That's what she wanted, huh?
I think my buddy's still single.
Oh, of course he is. I actually, without even you doing any research, I will tell you 100% he is.
Oh, boy.
That was a major blow to him. He has not gotten over
know.
It. He's still...
It was just dumb. 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 But we went off on a tangent. With all that being said, we got a guy who was a CO who worked in the prison on tonight's episode. It was a call-in, and we had a really nice conversation with him.
Yeah, we got behind the bars.
Yeah, we got behind the bars.
We got behind bars with
on the inside.
Yeah,
we went on the inside tonight.
Yeah.
First up, though, before we get into that call, we got some sponsors who pay for this whole shit to be on the air. First and foremost, we got StraightRazors.com. Big fan of StraightRazors.com. love me some straight razors. They don't love them in prison. They don't allow these in prison. But I have a feeling they're not ordering them anyways. So
No. It's more fun to make them yourself.
It is.
Out of a toothbrush.
StraightRazors.com has got the finest shaving products on this earth. They got the number one ranked aftershave, number one ranked cologne. Their razors are the finest in the biz. And if you're thinking to yourself, oh, man, I haven't used a straight razor. I'm a little nervous about it. They got a little safety kit for you to get you started. Once you get used to it, though, you never go back. They've also got, like, shampoos, conditioners, and their Smolder Aftershave and cologne is the greatest goddamn smelling shit on the planet, and it's the best. Gives you that aftershave gives you a little burn in your pores afterwards, so you know they're sealed up. Big, big fan. Try those two if you're just curious about trying out the product. If you don't like them, you can punch me in the dick when you see me out.
That's a guarantee.
Go to straightrazors.com, type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Again, support the show. Go to straightrazors.com, type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Next up, we got StrikeForceEnergy.com. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Dawn's Early Light, every time you do that.
Dawn's Early Light.
It's like the 4th of July all over again. Oh, beautiful.
For space skies.
With the green.
With the green.
StrikeForce Energy is the premier, grandeur energy drink in all of the land. I don't even think grandeur is a word.
I don't know. We don't know. Are we talking?
Grandeur, no.
Am I talking right now?
StrikeForce Energy is a tasty, tiny little tin pouch that you just rip open, pop in your drink. You put a little squeeze in there, and you're good to go. It goes in everything, too. Beers, waters, Kool-Aids, liqueurs. It's better than 5-hour energy. You can kick the can. You don't need the can anymore. You don't need Red Bull. You don't need Kickstart or Monster, whatever the fuck you're drinking. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com. Get yourself a packet of energy drinks. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm fucking wrong. Use the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Again, that's StrikeForceEnergy.com. Use the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. They've got a subscription of the month club, and they ship everywhere in the entire world, which is a nice thing. Last but not least, we got At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed, the first ever romance novel for dudes. Jables. Oh, beautiful.
Oh, beautiful. Ray Charles.
If you're looking for the most patriotic book ever written, it's At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed. Funniest book ever written by the genius, the man on two legs, the man with two arms. The man with one single head, two ears, and two eyes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
We're talking about Ross Master Antonio, Orenthal James Patterson. Man, I can't say enough good things about that guy.
Sure.
He's really just
a
God-given talent walking around on this earth. Mm-hmm. Pick up the book on Amazon.com or listen to it on Audible.com. It's one of the top 10 ranked Audible books on there. And I'll tell you why. Because they allowed me to do it. They allowed me to put other actors in it. Jesse got to be in it as well. And the reason why I say this is I'm writing the sequel to A Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed as we speak right now. And, man, I've written a lot of shit this year. And sometimes you kind of search for inspiration. You're kind of looking for other shit. I like to go and look at what other people have done to try to dig up inspiration. I went out of your suggestion that Stephen King wrote a book about his writing process.
Yeah, on writing.
Yes. Well, I'm currently writing, so I cannot read it. So I was like, oh, I'll just get the Audible. I got the fucking Audible, and it was that goddamn British guy they try to stick with, like, 90% of these audiobooks who fucking sucks. And it's like, you've heard Stephen King talk. You know what he sounds like,
right,
what he looks like.
It would be great if
it was jarring to hear this audiobook that was like, oh, I was sitting on the train on the way back
from
this thing.
Yeah, I will say, like, if it's a biography like that
of a real person,
then
do it.
You should definitely read it.
Do,
like, I know it's hard and it takes a lot of time, but just do it. Like,
I just don't get it. So, like, you know, Simon and Schuster tried to push it off on that British guy. They were like, oh, we'll just have him do it. It'll be quicker. It'll be like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the best there is. I'll do this goddamn thing. And I'm the only one who can do this voice. And then once they allowed me to do it, and there was some back and forth. Once they allowed me to do it and then they got it, they were like, oh, Jesus Christ, we had no idea. And I was like, welcome to the fucking new world. And now I heard that there's other books where they're hiring out teams of actors to do it and they're paying for it. So you're welcome.
Yeah, we're not going to say we started it, but
kind of close, I think.
It was the only one at the time, for sure, that did it.
Yeah. So pick up a copy of A Night She Cries While He Rides a Steed, or check it out on audible.com. Now to the good stuff. Now to the this is what you didn't pay for. This is why you this is why you subscribe to the podcast for free. Is to hear shit like this. We got a call from somebody who was on the inside to give us a little insight into what it's like inside the jail. We kept his name private out of respect for him, and he's got a new job, new life now. Wanted to leave that old one behind, so we're going by a nickname, and we may or may not deepen his voice.
Maybe.
Or shrank in his voice.
It was maybe a lot deeper, and we made it a higher.
Who knows? You'll never know that answer.
You'll never know. We won't tell you.
But we're gonna play the interview now, and buckle the fuck up, kids. Here you go.
Doctor, they won't let me out. They won't let me out. Doctor, they won't let me out. No.
Okay, what was your highest level of security?
It was a max security. It was not like the super max like you see in the documentaries, though.
Yeah,
that's one step above.
You know what? Describe the difference for the audience, because I think a lot of people, including myself, don't know the difference between a max and a super max security prison.
Well, yeah, at your very bottom level, you have like your community programs. So that's like a work release where they go, they stay at the prison that night, check out the next morning, go do their real world job. Other ones where they just live there, but there's no real fence. You know, they come and go. They're non-violent offenders, very low risk. And then you have medium security prison. I mean, you're within the walls there. Maximum security. Some of those are locked down up to, you know, 22, 23 hours a day.
Shit.
And is that like violent offenders, or it's like all kinds?
Where we were at was maximum security. It was broken up to 9 different housing units, and we had everything from very low level people that were only going to be maybe serving a sentence of a year or two, and with the good time law you were getting out in half that, all the way up to people that were life sentences.
Jesus. And they were sharing the same space?
Not necessarily. Same prison, not the same space. And so the housing units were broken up into 9 separate housing units.
Okay.
So all of, let's say, like your sexual offenders, sexual predators, and your protective custody inmates were in their own wing. They never saw anyone else in general pop.
Oh, gotcha. I got so Gen Pop, right? That's what they call it, Gen Pop.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So all the, like, the chomos,
he's trying to help. He's
all the
to
chomos,
cool.
The child molesters, and all that stuff were in another unit altogether.
Yes.
And they never mingled.
No.
Okay. Can I ask about the shoe? Was that?
Yes.
Is there like? Is that one of the houses, basically?
Yes.
Okay.
Jesse, why do you know this? What is the
me
shoe?
Me and White Thunder are going to talk because we know what we're talking about, okay? How do you feel about that solitary confinement, like on an honest level?
You know what? I've never done it, but I've only seen part of the research that's come out that's recently said it's incredibly hard on someone's psyche. That it breaks them,
and you haven't seen like firsthand somebody just like
lose their shit
from like having
it. You
go
see
there.
It when they're coming out of it. Yes.
Yeah. Crazy.
I mean,
right?
they're broke.
Here on the outside, it is a common belief that solitary confinement is only for the most hardened inmates, but not so. In some prisons, breaking basic rules or being caught with contraband will earn a prisoner time in the hole, and almost all of these men will be released back into society someday. Studies show they're actually more likely to reoffend on the outside as a result. We return now to ABC's Dan Harris, almost through his first full day of confinement, to look for clues as to why.
I've now been in solitary for 18 hours. I'm meeting with jail officials.
It feels good to be out of that little cage, I'll tell you that much.
When we are loudly interrupted.
What is that?
It is my neighbor, the mentally ill inmate, breaking down while guards return him to his cell after a court appearance. Jail officials admit sometimes when they put people in solitary, they just get worse.
With ours, I think the most I ever saw anyone was like 30 days. But you're only getting out a few times a week for a shower, whatever the state minimum is. You have no time in the yard. Your meals are given to you through a slot in the door. That's it.
Is there any light in there?
Yes. Yes, there's light.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
You could walk into that unit and sometimes you'll have someone that's actually breaking down and they're just yelling and screaming and banging against the wall. I mean, there's people that break mentally when they're in there.
For sure. I mean,
shit.
Ross would last 2 hours.
Well, so now that you've said that, White Thunder, I don't know, and I'll tell you why. Do you have access to a TV or paper? Like,
no.
What about anything to write with or?
Nothing.
No. It's very similar to if you are in like a suicide watch. They've taken everything from you. You don't have a bed at that point.
You sit
wait,
in.
Wait,
so in
no,
our
no
facility,
bed?
No, in our facility, you had what was called a cot. It looked like kind of a canoe. It was just a hard plastic shell and the mattress that went in there. And you'd have your blankets.
And you'd have blankets.
But, yeah, you'd have your prison uniform that you were issued. And some of those were like the ripstop material. So they couldn't, you know, tear something off, make a noose, hang themselves. Some of them were allowed shoes, but it's more like a flip-flop or like a croc. There's no shoelaces and those in there.
Man.
It's
you
and your thoughts, man.
Yeah. You're right. I don't think I could mentally get through that if I didn't have anything to do. Because if it's just you and your thoughts and you have nothing to do in there, like physically do, you'd lose your shit. If I had even old reruns of like, you know, Andy Griffith, I'd be fine.
And a lot of them, you're not allowed a television. Some of them, you're allowed books. It kind of depends on your level, what you've done and where you're at.
Yeah.
You might have one book. You might have, you know, a journal you can write in.
Okay. If I had something to write in, I would be okay. Or like a stack of books. I think I would be all right for that amount of time. But other than that, no. I would. You're right. I'd go off the fucking deep end.
But that was just my question because that kind of fascinates me. It's like so hardcore, but you didn't really work that. So,
no, I was not an issue.
So let's get back to your craziness then.
Yeah. What's the craziest thing you ever saw while working there?
We had a couple of close riots when I was there. I was never actually part of a riot. We had a few forced cell extractions. That was about the extent of my craziness. We had another prison that was right next to us. We had an underground tunnel between the two. Probably the craziest thing I saw there was there was a guy that had snitched on a bunch of inmates, and he was getting out within like a week. And as he was going through the halls one day, they found him, and there was some construction supplies left out, like 2x4, some scaffolding, and they beat him to the point where he was unconscious in the hospital. Broken bones. I mean, they attempted to kill him. They didn't kill him, but he might as well have been.
Wow. Right. And did they know this underground tunnel, this Harriet Tubman-like tunnel between the prisons was going on?
The tunnel between was the Sally Port, yes. That's because we didn't actually take inmates out of one prison to go to the next. There
really?
Was an underground tunnel that went in between. There was a Sally Port, so you brought the inmates into there. Guards searched them. One door shut, the next door opened. They took them through.
Shit.
So one prison actually cooked all the meals, they did the laundry, and they brought it over to ours.
Wow, that's weird. Because you could do whatever you could do whatever you wanted to with that food, one would imagine, right?
No, because all the guards are there with them.
Okay.
So these inmates that have earned the right to do these jobs, these are actually, for prison, they were good jobs. They got them out of their cell. I mean, otherwise you're locked down most of the day.
Yeah. Well, so
if you had a job in the laundry where you could work 6 hours a day, you got to be around your friends. You weren't stuck in your cell.
You were psyched about it.
And you made a little bit of money.
Yeah. Is the prison food as bad as everybody says?
Some of it wasn't. And they're allowed to buy things through their commissary.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
They'll buy, you know, refried beans and taco shells and sausages and cheese. And I mean, they'll actually cook up their own food as well.
Okay. And what about the gay sex that you hear about this? Look, that's one of the most common things that everybody hears about. Is it as rampant and bad as people say?
I never flat out saw it.
You looked the other way, or you didn't care, or what's the...
No, I always knocked on the cell, and you have a control station officer that's kind of in an encased room. And they can see out onto the floor, and you would call for that officer to open that door. You had sometimes, depending on the unit, security restrictions, you had to wait for another officer to show up. You couldn't just open a cell door and go in.
Now, was this sex voluntary or involuntary?
Both.
Oh, boy.
I mean, sometimes you'd go in, and it's not supposed to be going on, but it was, and it was completely voluntary between the two. And there are other times that, no, it was flat out the guy was raping a cellie.
Oh, God.
His own cellmate.
Yes.
And then
you just knock on the door?
Well, you'd pound on the door.
Right.
You know,
okay.
You'd give them the order to take down the...
Got it. And you're like...
The toilet paper, whatever they put up there, a piece of newspaper, whatever.
Sure. Okay.
And what, you could hear them screaming?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
You could hear, sometimes they were grunting. But you can hear what's going on, you just couldn't see.
Sure,
and
sure.
And if they wouldn't, if they take it down, sometimes they're just in the wrestling. Or they were fighting.
Right.
Right. So what happens when you walk in and see, one of their cellmates is being raped by another cellmate? What's the protocol for that?
You'd have to call for another officer. They come in. Depends on what the guy does. I mean, if he just puts his hands up and comes out, he's getting taken away. More, and if it was rape and the other guy's going to press charges, then he's going to have another charge added to his sentence.
Gotcha.
So the other guy's going off to the hospital. He's getting, medical eval, a psych eval, all that good stuff.
So you can press charges for something like that?
Yes. I'm not sure exactly how that works, but I would assume the state picks that up.
Man, I did not know that, actually.
But you know.
Because if they hit you, that's assault.
But okay.
Some of them that were only there for a small time period, they would not touch the officers. They're not supposed to, because they knew, hey, this is going to add time to my...
Sentence. Sure.
So if you go into some place where, the guy's raping his cellmate and he turns around and hits you, I mean, he's going to get charged for the sexual assault. He's going to get charged for the assault on the officer.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So let me ask you this. Were the guys that were in there doing longer sentences purposely trying to fuck up any of the other guys that were doing shorter sentences so they would stay longer?
I never saw that. In fact, a lot of the ones that were in there, the longtime guys, guys that had been through two or three sentences, they were the ones that would actually help the officers out.
Really?
So a couple of my housing units, they'd get a new guy that came in, and the kid would just be acting the fool. He'd, you know, be too loud. He would be, whatever it was disrupting the normal state of the housing unit. And the older inmates would pull him aside and say, look, knock this shit off. Because if you get us in trouble and they lock down the housing unit, we're going to find you later.
Ah, gotcha.
They
gotcha.
Have their daily routine. Anything that was going to cause them, you know, someone starts a fight. Okay, now the unit's getting locked down. Well, now they don't get to make their phone call, or they don't get to go play dominoes, or they lose their yard time. So some of the inmates would actually help enforce, you know, what needed to be going on in that housing unit. Probably upwards of 30 different gangs that were in there.
No shit.
And it was, they do the best when you come in of trying to segregate you by
your gang.
When you get your security clearance, yes, they're trying not to put two people in a housing unit or two warring factions in a unit that aren't going to get along. So the units weren't segregated by race. I had some units that were predominantly white, because if they threw a whole bunch of Black or Hispanic or Native American or, you know, Asian gang members in there, it just wasn't going to work.
Right.
Some units were pretty well mixed. Some were predominantly one race or another. But a lot of it came down to whatever those gangs were doing, whether they were in charge of gambling or they were in charge of, you know, commissary and selling and bartering, or they were in charge of, you know, sex on that unit.
Oh, man.
But a lot of it just came down to flat out physical violence. I mean, we had a use of force incident basically every single day.
Really? Did you ever have to use force at all?
A few times, yes.
And how violent does it get?
Really dependent on the unit you were working on. So like I said, the units that, the lower the number, the lower the risk. So in our particular one, housing unit one was all the sexual predators, safe keeps, that kind of stuff. Generally very little to no problems there. The higher the numbers, 2, 3, 4, 5, those were generally pretty mellow units. Those were people that just wanted to do their time and get out.
Gotcha.
The higher level ones, those are the ones, I mean, you had a use of force almost every single day down there.
Jesus. Let me ask you this. The sexual unit that you were talking about, did you find that they had any sex crimes against each other going on in there? Or was their thing mostly towards innocent people to the outside world, and once they got inside, they were
kind of... You know, I couldn't answer that one. That was the one unit that I tried my damnedest not to work, because I couldn't stomach it.
And as a guard, is that the same feeling with every other guard that's there? Are they like, man, that's one unit I just don't want to work?
For us, yes. That was just, it was a really shitty unit. I didn't want to be around those people. You left there just feeling sick, knowing that some of these people were there for crimes that they had committed against, like, their grandchild. Or,
God,
you know, their own son or daughter. I mean, it was just,
so that
it was
brings...
disgusting. So, no, I really don't know how much of that went on there, because I tried my best to get different shifts or different posts so that I wasn't in that unit.
Gotcha.
Well, my question, that led me to my question about, like, how you honestly, now that you're, I don't know if you're in the same line of work. Were you saying?
No.
So, how did you feel? Like, did you ever feel like somebody was in there that shouldn't have been? Or was it like...
Everybody's,
I don't know,
guilty.
That's question one, I guess. Did you ever feel like there were people in there that you believed? I know everyone says they're innocent, right?
Jesse likes making a murder
no,
on Netflix.
She
likes to think that people are innocent who are in there. That's your thing.
I never ran into anyone that I thought was innocent.
Ah,
okay, no, I know.
Not a single one. And most of them would flat out tell you, yes, I did it. Not necessarily in a bragging sense, but most of them would own up and, yeah, I did that.
Okay. So they're not saying like, no, I didn't. I'm innocent.
I'm sure that happens. Right. I never ran across a single
one. Okay. So my thing was like, you know, all these like, you know, these shows make it seem like there's so many people incarcerated that are like wrongfully, you know, shoddy police work
and all of this shit.
And I think just talking to you or that question was meant to show that like there actually isn't that many people that are like wrongfully committed. You know what I mean? Like
when you look at it statistically, I'm sure there are plenty of people in prison for things that they didn't do or were railroaded or trumped up charges.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Okay. So everyone in there, you're like, listen, you did something.
Yeah.
And most of them would flat out tell you. Okay. I mean, they wanted to tell you.
Interesting. And then was it like a really stressful job where you had to like psych yourself up every day to just be like, all right, I'm doing this? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
When you went through the academy, that was the one thing they told you is, you know, it's a high stress job. There's a lot of turnover, a lot of burnout. That's the only reason I did it for a year.
Yeah.
I thought for sure. Because this was 17 years ago.
Okay.
It was a really good paying job. At the time, I was really young. I was like, hey, this is a great job. I was like, I'll be able to do this forever. No.
Right.
I don't know how some of the officers in there did it for 20 some odd years.
Yeah. That's one thing that I could never figure out because a friend of ours, Rocco, did it for a little bit. He did it for a little bit. And he was just like, man, every day you wake up and it's just a fucking grind to get yourself prepared for that.
Do you think you have to be like a certain type of person? And did you see some officers that were like, oh, you're meant to do this? Like,
yes,
you're meant to just be this. You love it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. And you just
we had a few on our teams that were former gang members that had, you know, a really bad life and managed to turn around. And we're like, you know what? I'm here because I want to do something to try and help people. Yes, you're in prison right now, but you're not always going to be.
That's
great.
You need
to make that transition when you come out.
See that? And that's great. And I think that's who should be working these jobs. Like somebody who's at least, you know, has been in, knows what's going on, knows what they're going through, and then has gotten into the outside world and is able to go back into the system itself and say, hey, guys, there is something better beyond this outside here, and is able to set, you know, understand the rules and guidelines and get through the days, and then help them get through as well. And then it would provide more jobs for, you know, ex-cons. Like I said, we had talked about this on the show when you had written in with, you know, a friend of Rocco's who was a former inmate, had gotten out, and a lot of them don't know what to do with their life after that. Would you agree with that?
Yes, they don't always prepare you the best. You know, there's a lot of different programs in prison. And sometimes people go and say, oh, you know, they shouldn't have access to high school diplomas and college classes. And, oh, they have it so well. Well, what do we expect these people to do when they get out?
Yeah.
We've locked them away for 10 years. They have no applicable skills.
Right.
You got to try and do this. Otherwise, it's just a cycle that's going to repeat. They're going to come right back out. Well, the only thing I know is slinging drugs. All right. Now I'm right back in prison.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this podcast, Ear Hustle?
No, I haven't.
It's two inmates that are actually doing a podcast from San Quentin, I think.
Really?
You're now tuned in to San Quentin's Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
The following podcast contains language that may not be appropriate for all listeners.
I'm Armando Flores, and I served 26 years in solitary confinement. Being in the SHU for so long, it will affect you in many ways, you know, from not being able to finish a sentence to forgetting what you're talking about during a sentence.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
Earlonne is serving a 31-year-to-life sentence for attempted second-degree robbery, and he's the co-host and co-producer of Ear Hustle.
And that's Nigel Poor. She's a visual artist who works with incarcerated men here at San Quentin, and she's the co-producer and my co-host. And together, we're going to take you inside.
It's crazy, and it's like top, like higher than ours. But anyways, it's amazing. Like... you're just kind of like, I think that's what I meant. Not they have it so good, but like, God dang. Yeah. I mean, you have a podcast.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. I think they're in for upwards of 30 kind of thing though. Right.
I would assume so. Yeah. if they have that time to,
yeah,
to devote, otherwise they'd be swapping a post every, you know, 6 months or so.
For sure.
Yeah. So let me ask you, what was your deciding factor? What was the day? Was there an exact day that you said to yourself, hey, I'm done with this job. Like I can't physically do this anymore.
You know, the first probably 3 months in, it was great.
Really?
You know, you're in a control center. You're not actually out on the floor.
Right.
So you're isolated from all of this. And then after that, you know, you're transitioned out to the floor and then it's not so great. You're moved around. So now we're at like the 6 month, 9 month point. And I thought maybe I wanted to transition to be a caseworker. Caseworkers would come in, work with the inmates, try and, you know, set them up for the ones that were going to be released. Hey, you need to be on this GED program. You need to do this. You need substance abuse classes, that kind of stuff. And I thought maybe that'd be a good way to go with my career, help people. And taking these inmates to and from these appointments, I realized how few of them actually wanted it.
Yeah.
I mean, the few that really wanted it got after it. They were doing everything they could to make themselves better. But the larger portion of them just didn't care.
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted to do that, was I thought I could make a difference.
There
and
just
then
wasn't...
slowly after that, it wasn't there. And then we actually had an uptick in a lot of violence. So we had a couple escape attempts. Our neighboring prison actually had a couple inmates that were shot by tower guards. And I was like, you know what? Now's a good time to leave.
Was there ever any clever escape attempts that you...
Not while I was there.
Okay.
The last one that happened, and it was years before I had ever been there, inmates were out in the yard that weren't supposed to be in the yard.
Okay.
They jumped the garbage man and tried to get his keys because they were going to take the garbage truck and ram through the fence.
Ah, beautiful.
And the garbage man actually had the width to take his keys and throw them over the fence.
What? Holy shit.
Jeez. No. Who knew the garbage man was going to foil the whole thing?
Yeah, he balled out. What's did they end up knocking out the garbage man after that? I would have at that point, I would have been like, fuck it.
Serious.
Let's take out the garbage man.
Yeah, that one kind of took a darker turn. They actually ended up killing the garbage man.
Oh, my God.
White Thunder.
They were able to get over the fence. They were able to get the keys. And I mean, they did escape. They were caught. But
of course.
Yeah, it was a very clever one, but it didn't work out.
I mean, but they followed through.
R.I.P. to the garbage man. God damn.
And they thought after all of that, driving around in the big garbage truck, they were going to get away.
Yeah, they were going to be able to get away.
In prison jumpsuits, who knew?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
So let me ask you this, White Thunder. When you got moved to the floor, did you feel like every second of the day that there was a possibility that somebody was going to try to fucking off you?
No. No, most of the days, if I had my choice of unit or where I was going to be, they were pretty chill units.
Gotcha.
Most of them just wanted to be there and do their time. If you were stuck on a unit that had a higher security classification or more violent criminals, then yes. I'm a white guy. I shaved head. So if I was on a unit that had a lot of white gangs on there, no. They were actually really nice.
You know, right.
They always joke around and come down. They're like, hey, we're having a meeting up in, you know, Sol 12. Come and join us.
Yeah.
So, but no, there were some times that, when you went out there, you didn't have your back to anybody.
Gotcha.
And you're not allowed anything when you're on the floor. So you don't have a baton. You don't have handcuffs. You don't have a radio. You have nothing.
You're kidding. So no stun guns or tasers or anything like
that? No, because it can be taken from you and used on you.
Oh, shit.
So I would have a little pouch with a CPR mask and a couple of pairs of rubber gloves, and that was it. So if you were in trouble, you better be hoping that your officer in the control center was watching, because he was the one that called the emergency response team.
So at this point, like, are you just relying on your physical strength and skills? Like, are you a boxer, any form of MMA training, or what was mentally the one thing in your mind that you knew you had in case you got jumped then, since you have nothing on you?
It was physical.
It was physical.
I'm a martial artist of 23 years.
There it is. So, I knew you had something, White Thunder. You couldn't have just been walking out there with a living on a prayer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No,
that
knew
and
he
your verbal
handle-
skills, you had to talk down a lot of things.
Yeah, diffusing, right?
And when you didn't have to talk it down, then it got physical.
So, okay, so this leads me to this question then. I'm surprised that another inmate in there of physical stature wouldn't want to try to go against you to show everybody else, hey, man, I can take this motherfucker out.
Oh, yeah, that happened quite a bit.
It did? How many times did you have to defend yourself personally?
They never actually hit you. Well, I didn't have a situation where they try hit me, but I had guys that were pushing 7 foot. You know, 6'8", 6'9".
Oh,
they're
God.
Big boys.
Right.
And, they want to get right in your face. You know, they'll see how far I can go. What can I get away with? It's like
they want you
in high school.
Yeah, they want you to hit them, So it's like...
Yeah, they want to get in there. They're putting a show on for everyone else. Yeah. You know, what can I get with? Can I intimidate this guy? Is he going to budge on this? I mean, when you have 24 hours a day for umpteen years, they get bored.
Yeah, dude.
And all they do is sit and watch you, so they have time to think, hey, you know, what games can we play? How can I work this person? What angle?
Ugh. Oh, God. Even hearing that is fucking
stressful.
Creepy. Yeah. Like, I would feel stressed out every single second
Which
of the day
said,
there. Yeah.
He said he did.
You are. Yeah. And there's a lot of stress. You know, you go home and you're like, oh, cool, I get to unwind. They don't go home.
Right.
They sit there and then you're going to turn around and see them tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you go home, are you able to shut it off then? Like, you able just to go, you know, are you married?
I am now, yes.
Like, are you able to go home just like after working a long, you know, shift at the prison and then just be like, hey, let's go see Guardians of the Galaxy?
Well,
back then I wasn't married,
was
17
and years ago.
That, you know, the big thing is everybody went out and drank.
Oh, they did. Did
you
they
know,
drink?
We
they drink
off
together?
Shift and everyone went straight to the bar. And the bar was less than like a mile and a half from the prison.
No shit.
And a bunch of the other guards there that were off duty or also part time bartenders. I mean, that was the spot. If you were in law enforcement, that was kind of our bar.
Was it called The Hole?
No, but it might as well have been one. Yeah.
The Shoe.
What about, so you and you weren't married while you were working there, you said?
No.
Okay, so what were the sexual relations like outside of jail? Who did you meet and who did you hang out with? If you were going to the bars drinking with people who worked in the prison every night, were you guys just, you know, sleeping essentially with people who worked in the prison?
You know, there were a few. The people that just kind of, you know, intermingled and passed around. I never dated anybody I worked with. One of my roommates at the time was also a guard there. 90% of the people I worked with were men. It was a men's only facility.
Okay.
So you didn't have too many female officers. And most of the female officers that were there were about as big as men. I mean, they look like linebackers.
Oh,
really?
They can handle themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm in a room and you're my emergency backup team, I got to be able to trust that when you come in, you can handle whatever's going on.
Man,
I would not be on your backup team. Yeah.
Not only that, but like, I just wouldn't, like, I wouldn't feel safe enough. And look, Jesse and I talk about this all the time. And Jesse is actually like really great at this. She's not like your crazy feminists who are just like, women are equal and can do everything.
Mm-mm.
That's a job, right, Jesse? That you'd be like, dude, there's no way a woman should work there, right?
I don't think.
Yeah.
But that's me personally, because you guys need to count on each other. And so, you're saying there was some that could hold their own, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
but
those
again,
were typically the ones, though, that also worked the floor. So maybe I had a woman or even a guy. Trust me, there's a lot of guys there that was a little sketch.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I didn't want that guy protected.
Yes. Yeah.
But that was a good spot for him to go work the control center.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe he was working someplace else where he was not the first line of defense of, hey, I'm getting my ass kicked. You're the person coming in.
Right.
Now we're both getting our ass kicked. You know, that doesn't work.
Yeah, I think that's my point. If there was women there that you were like, yep, I'd rather have you here than this guy, then cool, man. But I think it's very few.
The women who did work there, were they ever doing sexual favors with the male prisoners?
No, but I did recently see an article about that.
I did too. So I read that article and I was like, I mean, That, did you read that article? Like how crazy that was with those women? I was like, Jesus Christ.
The Arizona State Department of Corrections is supposed to be a place where criminals go to pay their time, right?
So what if we told you some are spending their time behind bars hooking up with prison workers? And that's putting you at risk.
ABC 15's Elizabeth Irwin got her hands on some telling information you'll only see right here. Elizabeth, what did you find?
Sex in the storage room, kissing in the kitchen, romping in the restroom. It sounds like the plot for a salacious movie, but it's the reality of what's happening inside the Arizona State prison system. ABC 15 News obtained these reports, spelling out in graphic detail the sexual relationships between inmates and employees within the Arizona Department of Corrections. Like this case, when, according to the report, an inmate had sex with a female officer in the visitation porter closet. Or this one, when another female officer admitted to having sex 10 to 15 times with an inmate in the prison's tool room. How about this doozy? A female officer performing a sex act on an inmate inside the prison's control room. It's the prison's central nervous system, the place where guards monitor what the inmates are up to, the controls that can open and close prison cell block doors.
It creates disorder.
I was stuck. Like, when I read that, I was like,
were you surprised, White Thunder? Were you surprised by the article or not really?
Not really.
Yeah.
Because we would have one. There was a guy who was notorious. He would brush his teeth naked in front of the door during count.
Okay.
So, and he would only do this when the female officers would come by, mm-hmm. or they'd stand there in front of the cell, you know, jerking off when the female officers would come by.
Sure.
Again, they're not supposed to do that, but you know, hey, it's prison, shit happens.
Yeah.
Right.
But they never took it any further than that.
Right, but you, yeah, again, like you weren't what would too the women, surprised.
Yeah. What was the women's reaction to this? Of like, oh, dude, fucking Jimbo. And, you know, cell block four was jacking off again in front of me. What was their reaction to it?
They have to be okay.
You know, some of them were very stone-faced about it.
Yeah.
Because if you react, that's part of what they wanted. Mm-hmm. They wanted the shocked reaction. They wanted the woman to, you know, be disgusted and, you know, make a big deal. But if they're just like, put it away, you know, type thing, most of the time it ended. If not, then, you know, they wrote them up.
Did they ever come back and talk to you about it? Or they were like, dude, you're not going to believe what I fucking just saw.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. That was a source of amusement.
Really? And what would they say?
You know, it depended on the guy, you know.
So they so might big be there Billy,
like, oh, that
yeah.
guy's in there, you know, playing with his Tootsie Roll or you know, whatever. But
that's okay. At least they could like not in front of the inmate, but at least be like
they had a sense of humor about it when they got
you know sure there was a couple sucked. Of them in there that were just flat out ruthless and you know they'd sit there and point and laugh at them. So
I love that.
Oh Jesus I Christ!
That
really?
Takes the old ego down a peg or two.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That I like that a lot.
Yeah.
And what would they say to him? Like you little dick motherfucker, like that type of shit.
You know, I don't think it ever went that far
They're
because now
point,
we
yeah.
you cross the line into yeah. abuse. But, they just, yeah, point and laugh and kind of turn around and walk away.
It's
they might
all
say that to me. They'd never say that to the inmate.
Yeah, it's all about walking the line of abuse, you know?
Yeah.
It's all about walking that line.
What about tattoos in prison? A lot of that going on? And
yes.
Is that allowed? Do you guys allow that?
No.
Or?
No, that is definitely not allowed. That's a big no-no.
You do not. So why is it? How are they able to get away with it so frequently? And why is that such a big deal in prison?
Well, the reason they're not supposed to, I believe, comes down just to, like, safety. So it comes down to, you know, is this sterile?
Yeah.
We're going to end up with a bunch of people sharing needles, and now we have a hepatitis C outbreak or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
So that just came down to cleanliness. But it never stopped it. I don't know how they got they got smuggled in, obviously, either by an inmate or by someone visiting, but
that or you could make like makeshift needles basically.
Yes,
like shanks,
I mean they could
right?
make and, their own inks, they yeah. could make kind of their own pens and whatnot.
Yeah,
some
so
of them
like
were elaborate and actually had motors.
Dang.
So if they had a motor for their tattoo gun, somebody smuggled them that.
Wow.
Or they stole it out of one of their shops.
Yeah, yeah. That's fucking insane.
Like the conjugal visits thing. I see that all the time. Is that a real thing where you were at?
We never had conjugal visits, no.
Not at your. I like how you're laughing at me because you see that on TV.
I don't know if that's even a real thing, but no, we didn't have
that. Right? Like, really? You see it on TV all the time and you're just like, oh man.
God, TV lies to me so much.
I know. TV lies to you. So jail overall is pretty goddamn boring, right?
You know, it's a lot like Groundhog's Day.
Yeah, day to day.
Same
right?
thing over
yeah,
and
yeah.
over.
Over and day. Over and over again.
You know, that was your best case scenario, is you didn't want it to be really exciting. If your day was really exciting, chances are you spent the last 4 hours of your shift doing paperwork. You know, something happened and now you're doing inventory on someone's property and you're moving on. Oh, no, that's bad.
Yeah.
I think boring every day of the week.
Let me ask you this. The TV privileges. Who controls what to watch throughout the day, or do you guys just turn it to a channel?
No, they actually had that set up. I want to say there was an inmate board that chose the channels, and I want to say it was 3 months or 6 months it changed.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
So they got to choose, I want to say, let's say there was like six or seven channels. Uh-huh. And they got to pick what they wanted to watch, and then, of course, it had to be approved by the prison higher-ups. And then if there was anything that was sensitive on those channels, it got shut off.
Gotcha.
So there was, I remember when I was working there, American History X came out.
Oh, boy.
And that was being played on one of the approved channels. That had to be taken off. So we switched the channels that night. It caused way too much tension.
I bet. That's a great movie. it's a great movie. Not a great movie for prison.
No.
I mean, Jesus.
Right, yeah.
So let me ask you this. I'm a big NFL fan. How about Sundays? Were they watching football on Sundays?
Oh, yes. Yeah, there's sports. As long as it was nothing that directly related to something that was going to inflame racial tensions or, you know, showed you how to break out of a prison or something like that, you know, they weren't allowed to watch the Supermax prison special type thing.
Locked up abroad.
But they were able to watch sports. I mean, you know, they betted on it.
That was my next question. Yeah, because I mean, to fight off the boredom and try to keep you know, yourself going with, you know, hypothetical. So NFL runs 3 days a week, Thursday nights, Sunday nights, and Monday nights. One would think, at least during, you know, football season, and you have Saturdays of college football. One would think during football season you could at least look forward to that and at least gamble against somebody else and at least have some back and forth of rooting interest in something. Would that go on a lot?
Oh yes. Yep.
Ah, gosh. All right. So there's some things I do know. But I'd still go to even after this conversation, White Thunder, I'd still go 7 years. Like I wouldn't want more than 7 years of that.
I'd have to agree with you on that. I don't think I could be locked up.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Last question for you. What do you do now? And are you happy you don't work in the system anymore?
Right now I am a martial arts teacher and I am a personal trainer and strength coach.
Awesome.
So went that route. And am I happy that I'm not doing it?
Yeah.
Is it your phone?
Two inmates that were decent people that I actually enjoyed talking to. I look back at all the other bad things and I'm like, no, I'm really glad I don't do that. And having a wife now, I wouldn't want to do that.
Oh,
because I didn't handle the stress well after work. Right. So no.
You have any kids or anything?
No, no kids.
Okay. Yeah, you were like, look, I'm good on that. I'm good.
Stressed. Well, I have to say, for me, like, you are like my superstar because I'm like so interested in that stuff. I was like really excited to talk to you and thank you for just like, I don't know,
being on the
honest.
Show. Yeah, we appreciate
being honest.
It. Yeah,
sure. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear like after you being out of it, like an honest take on how you felt about it.
Yeah, because Jessie lives for this shit. Like she
I
listens.
Love it.
She loves.
And they're so stoic and like it seems like. I don't know. I just wanted to be like, hey, like, how do you really feel about that? You know what I mean? Because you have to put on such a show because you can't seem weak or anything I'm saying on these shows, right? But like, it just seems like you have to like psych yourself up and be a hard ass every day. And I just want to hear someone like, that sucked to have to do that. So
yes, it
thank
did.
You.
And, you know, some of those guys had, I tell you what, they, it's not even just thick skin. It's just some of the ones that were really great officers. I don't know if it was their outlook on life or what, but they didn't mind coming in.
That's so
some of them
weird.
Really
yeah.
enjoyed the job.
Yeah.
Some of them didn't particularly enjoy the job, but they're like, hey, it's a good job. And, you know, whatever happened, it rolled right off their back.
Right.
And that's definitely a skill I didn't have.
Yeah, I would not be able to do it at all. Not for 1 second.
No.
I would just, I'm
no,
way too sensitive.
Yeah.
Well,
Jet, you're sensitive. Me personally, like, I don't think I could walk around with that stress and anger every day.
Yeah.
And then waking up to do something that was just like, God damn it. Mm-hmm. There's a million motherfuckers in here who probably wish I just died right in front of them on the floor.
Were you ever scared if somebody got out? I mean, I know you weren't like mean to anybody, but were you ever like scared if someone got out and then you ran into them or anything? Or was it not really like that?
Actually, I had that twice where I lived.
That you ran into someone that you were a guard and they were a prisoner?
Yes. And they, yep, I was their inmate. One of them, the guy was, he had ended up being a bar owner in the same town.
Really?
And I was out one night and I stopped in the bar and he recognized me.
You're like, I hope I was nice to him.
Well, yeah, that's what runs through your head is like, well, this is going to go one of two ways. So I'm hoping it's going to be good. And he came over and gave me a hug and we sat there and talked and shot the shit for a while. And he was very nice.
No shit. And
he did it right, dude.
Yeah, he turned his life around.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, he was a business owner, owned a bar.
That's
he was a very nice guy.
Wow.
And he was always a nice inmate when I was in there.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, so it was, but you never know how someone's going to react when they're on the outside. So.
Yeah.
Sure. And who,
so freaked
who is the other person?
The other guy, I was in the grocery store, and I'm checking out, and it was a little later at night, and there's maybe 2-3 people in line, and he's looking at me the entire time, and I didn't recognize him, but he's just staring at me. And he finally turns to me and says, you are the guy that used to do my body searches. And I'm like, what?
No.
And he goes, I remember you when I used to go to, you know, visitation. And I'm like, oh, shit. And he just said this loud as day. Everybody in line heard him.
Oh,
I'm
God.
Like, well, that's awkward. So that one was a little fun.
That's awesome.
You were the guy who did my body searches.
Yeah. In so many words.
Yeah. What was it? By the way, since we're talking about it, did you do full body searches, like cavity, the whole shit?
Not like a cavity search, but if you went to visitation, you came back from visitation, if you left for, because we had a hospital on site, if you could not be treated for whatever reason at that hospital, you were transported to an outside hospital, you had to be strip searched. So they went in a room with you. You took they took clothes off one article at a time, handed it to you. You had to check like the seams of the clothing because they would slip things in like the waistbands or around the collar of the shirt or the cuffs. And they would have to get completely naked. You'd look in their mouth, had to roll their tongues, pull their ears out, run fingers through the hair. And then you'd tell them, okay, you got to turn around, spread your cheeks.
Hey,
cough, lift up your sack. I mean,
yeah.
If they were a big fat guy, you had to have them separate their fat rolls.
Oh my gosh.
So you'd find people that hide shanks inside their fat rolls.
Hey, smart. So, if you got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the strip searches were never fun.
Yeah.
It's another reason not to do that job.
Yeah.
There
boy,
you
it's
go.
Just a laundry list full of reasons not to do that job. Well, hey, White Thunder, I appreciate you being on the show. I appreciate you stopping by. And more importantly, thanks for listening, man, since day one. We greatly appreciate it, J-Bulls and I.
Absolutely. You guys got a great show.
Awesome. Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy. You're a superhero to me.
All right.
Take care.
Bye, White Thunder.
White Thunder, thank you for being on the show, my man. Super interesting inside look inside the prisons.
Yeah, like I said to him on the call, but it's interesting to see behind the not facade. It's not a facade, but what you have to be
right
to like get through that, it makes you seem like unfeeling, stone face. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
And they can't all be like that. So it was interesting to me to hear an honest, like, it's hard to be like that all the time.
Yeah. It's a job that I definitely would never want, obviously never want to fucking be in jail, but I would never want to work in there.
It's interesting because the inmates kind of have the same thing, like we were talking about. Like, they have to be acting a certain way
right.
all day yeah. to not get fucked yeah. with. And conversely, the correction officer has to be acting a certain way all day not to get fucked with. And they're both just like...
But that's gotta clash. In itself feels like a prison. Would feel like a prison to me, you know?
Yeah, to have to be that, because you're yeah. in, and you get to go home at night, but you still need to like be proving
fucking
yourself
shit.
Every
yeah.
day. Don't get fucked with.
Yeah, every yeah. day you got to wake up and try to fucking reprove yourself.
To me, that's interesting.
Man, look, crazy interesting interview, and we greatly appreciate you being on the show and sharing your insights. With that, we're going to give it to the revolutionary figure of the day. This one's going out to Benjamin Franklin.
Dumbass.
Yeah, it is. It is. Why? What is your... Cause you
I have been waiting for Benjamin Franklin to come up.
Why?
And because it's just like the most obvious. Like the most obvious.
Here's how I'm going to get you.
Poonhound. He was a... Poonhound.
Here's how I'm going to get you tonight.
Okay.
Because you don't have, I don't share with you the revolutionary figure of the day. So you have no idea. And we do this out of the fact that like I like to surprise you just because I liked your genuine reaction.
Yeah.
So why do you think I'm doing Benjamin Franklin tonight?
I don't know. Did he do something with jail?
He did.
Oh, but I didn't know that.
Exactly. I didn't either.
Okay.
So
okay.
Here's why. It says at a salon. So I'm assuming that could be saloon.
Okay.
This is...
Well, what's the context, Cohen? In a salon?
It was... It doesn't say bar in here. So, you know, maybe that's an olden time turn. Or, look, mm-hmm. writing has gotten so shitty these days because it's so rushed for the internet that you got to make deadlines. Maybe it is saloon. Maybe they left the O out, and this isn't okay. this is Business Insider, so it's not like I'm reading this
but
on
salon
fucking
salon can mean a couple different things.
I know, like so, maybe he was getting his wig done. I don't know.
Or yeah, okay.
I don't know. But at a salon hosted by Benjamin Franklin, a pamphlet was read calling for the construction of a house of repentance, in which solitude could work to soothe the minds of criminals and enlighten alternative, the group believe, to inhumane public punishments like the gallows, the pillory, the stocks, the whipping posts, and the wheelbarrow. According to Business Insider, was the thought process and invention of the first prison
mm-hmm.
for people. And
okay.
Apparently this was created by Benjamin Franklin. And then the first invention of the penitentiary was actually in Pennsylvania. So who knows?
A bunch of white poon hounds
yeah.
deciding what criminals should be.
The very first prison, yeah, they're saying was over in Europe. The very, very first prisons over in Europe.
Makes sense.
The ones in America were apparently Ben Franks.
Finally.
And again, this is a Business Insider, so if this is incorrect, go after them.
There's
you know
another
saying?
One that I'm waiting for you to pick. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but when you finally pick him, which you will, I'll let you know.
That's like a super obvious like revolutionary figure.
Yeah. Yeah. That like I'll be like, "Oh, really?"
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll be interested to see like how you wedge him into whatever conversation we have.
Yeah, cuz look, with Benjamin Franklin,
oh,
I wasn't
no,
going to do the fucking kite on the string and
sure.
you know, the key on the string and shit like that, but this is interesting.
Yes.
I thought.
No, that was good.
look, this was a fun show. Nice way to start off your work week on Monday by listening to a prison guard. So, you know, if you're out there listening and you're like, bad shit, I'm going to a job I hate. At least I'm not in prison today.
Right. And then if you are a corrections officer.
Yeah.
Sorry, but we get your we feel your pain.
We do feel your pain, but also like you know, White Thunder said, there is a lot of people who do work the jobs who are trying to help other people and enjoy the job.
And
so
do it well and like it. So.
Either way, good on you. Like
sure.
it's look, I've said this a million times in life. Jobs are hard enough to come by in this world. If you have one and you're lucky to love it, even better. But if you just even have a job, again, and you're able to support your family, it's still an admirable thing. So to everybody who's at home listening, we love you. For the Jables, I am Ross Patterson. This is The Revolution. Good night, everyone.
Good night.